Imagine your life as a string of lights, each bulb marking a moment that changed you. Now imagine adding a vibrant new bulb to that string, a brand experience so powerful it becomes an unforgettable part of who you are. That's the magic we chase at The Voice of Experience, your go-to podcast for the art, science, and secrets of making brands unforgettable. We'll crack open the craft of memory making to prove how experiences leave their mark and connect us to brands and products forever. This is your bite-sized masterclass of the mind-blowing science behind memories, real-world case studies of unforgettable experiences, and actionable takeaways that will have you seeing marketing and your brand differently. Welcome to The Voice of Experience. Let's make your brand shine brighter than ever before. Here are your hosts, Elke Jones and Max Linderman.
Hey there, everyone. Welcome to The Voice of Experience. Hello, Max. How's it going?
It's going, Elke. How are you doing?
Actually, we both recently got back from what I'm calling two premier events of the season.
I know where I was. Where were you?
Well, I was in Phoenix for the Waste Management Open. But we're also a little worse for the wear, I have to ask. How's your knee, man?
I went down. I am feeling my age. I had a small little injury playing. Oh, God, I'm such a cliche, pickleball.
Uh-huh.
I'm one of millions who have taken on the sport and found that their body can't compete. So I was hobbling along in the cobblestone streets of New Orleans.
Oh, my goodness. That could not have been a ton of fun.
It wasn't, but, you know, in a weird way, being surrounded by ex-NFL players, I fit in. Like, everyone's so limping and stiff, you know, they're huge, but stiff.
Yeah. Okay. Fair enough. So, I thought let's make it easy and have a fun conversation, a little compare and contrast between our two event experiences. See if there's anything that, was similar or maybe one of us had a better experience. What do you think?
Let's do it. Compare and contrast.
All right. Sounds good. So let's start with the Super Bowl. First question, there's so much we could talk about, but was there anything, I mean, you've been to, this is not your first rodeo, you know, I know this is, I don't even know if you can count how many Super Bowls you've been to over the years, but anything in New Orleans that really impressed you?
Oh my God. Well, I mean, in full disclosure, we did this, but the NFL house was amazing. I don't want to overhype it, but it was, if you know New Orleans and the French Quarter, it was a full takeover of Arnaud's, which is like this storied, location. Every room was like a Meow Wolf room with like Easter eggs and cool things. And like, you know, you go through a little hallway, through a little door, and like you pop out of it and there's, you know, John Elway or Joe Montana washing hands in a little bathroom. It really is like for anyone who wants to understand the NFL in a more celebratory nature, the NFL house is top notch. It really is awesome. I gotta say, I feel like maybe this is a cultural macro cultural thing or whatnot. If the Super Bowl in New Orleans felt pretty performative to me. Like it felt pretty like, I don't know, like, hey, we're in New Orleans. This is where people drink. Hey, let's create places where people drink. Hey, people are drinking, so let's give them snacks, right? Hey, people are on the street, so let's like roll a bunch of digital, you know, out of home trucks, those cue video things, and see if they notice. Like, hey, there's a fan fest. Let's get, you know, Chris Stapleton. Everyone loves Chris Stapleton. It's like it just felt like. You know, like a bad Grammys, right? You know, where like you kind of know who's gonna win, even though we didn't know. But like, you know, it just felt like, to me, it felt like it was ripe. Like the next year or the year after, maybe 3 years from now, I believe the Super Bowl experience is gonna be radically different than it was this year because it just feels so like at the tail end of being common.
Okay. Interesting. So I had a bit of a similar experience, but speaking of drinking, this was my first time going to the Waste Management Open with its famously booze-soaked 16th hole. Have you been?
Yeah. No, I've never been, no.
Yeah, so this event is really hyped as one of the most unique spectacles in golf, where I would say a normally genteel sport really kind of lets loose. So there's like at the 16th hole, if you can imagine like stadium-style seating, like deafening music, and this, let's say he's a very enthusiastic announcer who's introducing players more in the vein of like WWE than PGA, you know?
That's awesome.
Yeah. But, you know, when with all that, like, you don't really think about the fact that being environmentally aware isn't like the first thing on fans' minds. Yet this tournament, which has been sponsored by Waste Management for the past 16 years, is an unlikely incubator for ideas on how to make major sporting events easier on Mother Nature. I just didn't know that. Did you know that?
I did. I actually did know that there's a lot of, you know, kind of like responsible waste management kind of elements to that tournament. I did know that. Yeah.
Did you see anything like any sort of commitment to sustainability or sustainable practices in New Orleans?
I mean, other than a to-go cup for your alcohol, no. There was nothing overt as some of the things that I've read about in other locations, and certainly nothing as overt as what the Olympics, you know, had in terms of you know, affinity to Mother Nature.
Yeah, it's been kind of eye opening for me. I did a little digging, and you know, the Waste Management Open has been certified as zero waste event for the last 12 years. But it has turned waste management into a bit of a hot commodity in the sports world, because now they're partnering with the PGA Tour, MLB, 15 ballparks, and advising these properties on how to reduce trash if they're not ready to go like completely zero waste. And now they're working with various teams in the NFL, NBA, and NHL. I thought that was pretty cool.
I think that's actually super cool. Like, yeah, in terms of like how a brand can look at IP differently, right? Beyond logo marks and you know, statements and commercials. Like, IP like that is really interesting. It reminds me, I think Toyota or Honda has IP like that. It's Ikigai, or is that Nissan, where it's like a continual improvement kind of loop that they incorporate in all their business affairs, and now they can consult on for other businesses on, you know, operational excellence, etc.
Yes,
like that kind of stuff is real IP. Like it's
super,
it's
interesting,
just as real as the logo. Yeah,
I love that. So that was kind of the thing for me, pretty eye-opening at the event level. But you said, you know, the overall experience for you at Super Bowl felt pretty mid. Was there anything that the brands were doing that felt special or disruptive?
You know, nothing disruptive. And I think that's a little bit of, like, not to get political, but, you know, like the moment that the president decided to come visit, like, I think the things changed, right? Streets closed. The kind of temperature rose a couple of degrees. Everything just got a little bit more alerty. Right.
Interesting.
And I think that you know, in the cobblestone streets of the French Quarter, it felt, I'm not going to go all the way to say like dangerous, but you could tell that things could pop off. And granted, like the things that happened there 3 months ago was on people's minds. And so there was, you know, heavy military presence, like National Guard kind of presence. So it just didn't feel as loose and celebratory, I think, for me, as past ones. But I think overall, look, I thought the game was kind of mid. I love Kendrick, but I thought the performance was beyond the kind of like undertones of politicization. I thought it was kind of mid. You know, it's hard to carry off a hip hop show in a large stadium in 11 minutes. You know, it requires more. And I actually thought, like, you know, the commercials were mid, you know, and there was just a
lot
of it.
I'm with you, man. I was just like, who's bringing it? Nothing there to really talk about or care about.
Not this year. I thought last year Pepsi did a great job, like in all their activations and all, like, got Flavortown, all that stuff. It just didn't feel like, and again, it felt like performative. People were like, well, we got to be there. Let's do the thing that we normally do. Right. It didn't feel like a medium. Like, you know, I look at like the Super Bowl, like the weekend or like even the week leading up to it is like an entire medium that you can do stuff with. Right. Like you could.
Right.
You can advertise with it. You use marks with it. You get info, like all that stuff. It just felt like we marketers just kind of like painted by numbers with the Super Bowl.
Yeah. That's such a great way to describe it. That was very much sort of my feeling when I looked at the brands that were activating at Waste Management Open. It was what you would expect. It was liquor brands being golfy, selling like outrageously overpriced cocktails, and then the usual suspects offering and selling kind of same old hospitality experiences with pretty crappy food and warm drinks. And then, of course, the automakers are there hustling hard to generate leads in exchange for like a branded thing. You know, no real standouts. Yeah. Nobody felt special at all.
Yeah. And, I wonder if like, and again, I might be really like attaching way too much meaning to just mediocre marketing. But, you know, because you can't win them all. You know, you got to have a dud every once in a while. Yeah, you know, it feels like it's, you know, the end of one era and maybe the beginning of the next. It just felt like, again, a little bit performative in the way that brands, especially large scale brands, are looking at like big, you know, tentpole sports events.
Sure.
And a lot of it just felt programmatic. You know what I mean? Like, it's just we could just probably like throw something into this tent and put some music around it and it looks good. And the bigger the acts, the more kind of accolades that we'll get. But it's kind of like in the same way, like you can only just throw money at more impressions. Like, you're not really adding to the memory making. You're not really adding into the recall. You're not really adding to the earned media. You're not adding to any kind of like cultural influence, you know, or starting anything new. You're just sort of like trudging along the path of the past 10 years of traditional event marketing on large scale. And then there's the other side where it feels like, you know, very the scene behind the scene, like, you know, the event behind the event and the kind of like dynamics and machinations and planning and all the kind of like to and fro to make that event happen or that make those experiences happen. Feels like there's two different levels. One is very much like a marketing plan, and the other one is very much an intentional experience strategy.
Got it.
The NFL house or something like that.
That's interesting. When you were describing that, I kept thinking, like, insert brand name here, you know, versus like something that really stays with you. And it feels like some missed opportunities there to actually create that really sticky memory. I want to go back to something that you talked about a moment ago, if you don't mind. In this, you mentioned like increased security on the ground.
Yeah.
So my question is, before you ever left for New Orleans, was your safety on your mind?
Yeah, but you got to know who you're talking to, Elke. I mean, I am like a hypochondriac slash cynic slash, you know, delusional optimist at the same time. Yes and no, right? So I think in general, based upon the fact that, you know, we go to these things a lot, that it's easy to forget that these are highly complex, highly dynamic, oftentimes, you know, kind of like supercharged kind of experiences with a lot of humans where, you know, things do go wrong.
Sure.
So I was looking at it as just like a lot of people in one place with a lot of booze and a lot of football and a lot of masculinity, you know, like I was like, oh, that's going to be problematic. I wasn't really thinking about it as, you know, some sort of attack until it was announced that, you know, the president was coming. And then, then I started thinking, okay, now this is a statement event. Right. And political and, you know, we've known what happened the past year in terms
of
that.
Of course.
So then, yeah, I got a little bit more suspect about going. And then upon arrival, you know, it was kind of like it was quite militaristic in certain parts that I didn't expect from America.
Do you think that feeling in sort of your reaction to that it actually had a negative impact on the overall experience? Because you had mentioned earlier, like, if it felt so celebratory, did that have an impact on that feeling?
You know, yes. Like, it definitely has an impact on that feeling. And on the in the sense that it is part of the internal conversation that you are kind of like, you know, the aperture through which you might be making those memories, right?
Sure.
Potentially a higher attunation to certain things. Like, I normally probably wouldn't be attuned to police presence if I didn't have the initial thought about, you know, like safety concerns and et cetera.
Got it.
On the other hand, though, like, oddly, and this is maybe for myself, speaking for myself, it does add to the sense of excitement and a little bit of edge.
Oh, that's okay.
And, you know, like kind of a little like energy to it where, you know, again, it's football. And so I think there's a little bit of a preconceived attunation to like things kicking off, like, you know, like literally like thought things going crazy.
Yeah.
You know, and that happened in the parade in Philadelphia after the Super Bowl, right? There is an expectation, or at least an attunation to like shit going bad.
Yeah, that's such a great point. Thanks for your perspective there. I do want to say one last thing, kind of going back to Phoenix and waste management, just because it's top of mind for me. Well, it's for both of us because you and I have been like heads down in some golf work. Interesting to watch golf take up new space in culture. And it's cool, like fashion, music, you know, there's Jordans in the pro shop, there's Vans showing up on the course. So there's this really cool blend of skate culture and hip hop culture. It feels different. You know, you see Ricky Fowler step up to the tee box in like a camo matching set. It's just it's hitting different, right?
Awesome.
It's really hitting different. And I feel like when we think about brands, there's really an opportunity for brands to take advantage of this unique opportunity to kind of find their way into this slipstream of subculture. Because the game feels to me more accessible. It feels more for me, like personalized. It feels fresh, but the biggest thing is it felt like very, very human.
Oh, there's a strange kind of calibration between the whether it's tension or the release of the tension of the jiu-jitsuing of taking something stodgy and culturally staid and you know, flipping it or modifying it or you know, like reappropriating it, accelerating it. I think that's the really cool part about the times that we live in. This, I'm going to sound like old. The times that we live, right?
We are old. Yeah, what are you talking about?
No, but we are old. It's not like, but it's like kind of like the, I don't know, the courage of brands now to actually do
that.
Things like that, right? Is to like, whereas I think like 10 years ago, you'd be laughed out of the room if like you came in and be like, hey, waste management, have you ever thought about golf? And then like another 5 years after that and be like, hey, you guys ever think about like camo gear? You know, like, you know, it's just like, it seems like it's so crazy to think that you know, what is possible now that would be so crazy 10 years ago. And I see the same thing occurring for the NFL. I'm not to bring it back to that, but like, I see the NFL becoming golf. You know, and maybe in 10 years' time, there's going to be a completely new cultural perspective on the actual game of American football. In the same way that in 10 years' time, we might be seeing a completely different new cultural take and dynamicism on European football, on soccer. Yeah. You know, and it's and those tempo moments, and what are they going to look like? And that's so super awesome. Exciting.
Yeah, it's so awesome. And the opportunity to think laterally about sport is, I mean, thrilling, right? As people that get to work in sport with brands, it's super cool.
It is cool.
It's another great conversation. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Elke. As I always say, we got to do this more often.
And we will in just a few weeks. So please, for those that are listening, don't forget to subscribe. And Max, till next time.
Until next time. Bye.
Take care. Bye.
The Voice of Experience is produced by GMR Marketing, an Omnicom experiential group agency. All content is the property of GMR Marketing. Join us next time for more knowledge, data, insights, and secrets of the art and science of making brands unforgettable. For more information, contact us at gmrmarketing.com.